Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to the final episode of Season 1 for the Big Little Lies After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We're going to be covering Season 1, Episode 7, titled You Get What You Need. We have so many things to say about this awesome finale, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Always get what you want.
This is such a upbeat song for the set.
I know. Really Which is what's right. amazing about this show, the music and the downer tone. But on right. that note, thank you yes. all so much for tuning in for our finale of Big Little Lies here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. I'm joined by these three beautiful ladies. We are all dressed a little bit for the occasion. So let's start with you, Raquel.
Yes, hey everybody, my name is Raquel Harris, and you can find me on all social media at Raquel Harris TV, and I'm back this week. I'm sorry if you guys missed me, but I'm back.
We did.
Hey guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and I am so happy to join them for the finale, which so much happened, and I can't even like think right
Too
now.
Too much, right?
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. This lady.
Hey guys, I'm Jesse Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletchick, and check us out in the live chat, because I'm live in the live chat right now.
And
so.
You are beautiful. Look at you. You
I know. Like, you are dressed to the teeth, though. I love it.
I love Breakfast at Tiffany's, so
Me
I
too.
Had to be... Well, when you said you were doing that look, I was, like, one, jealous, but two, like, it's my favorite look of hers.
Yeah,
I love sleep masks.
She looks amazing in Breakfast at Tiffany's in that yes. outfit, and of course Madeline's wearing that outfit too, so she's like one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, so. I literally wore this for another show last week, and Shay saw me in the yeah. studio and was like, you need to wear that for our Audrey Hepburn episode. Yeah. And I was like, okay,
so yeah, you do look perfect.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you both do. Look at those black turtlenecks.
Right.
What did you guys think of this finale? Tell me your thoughts, because again, I'm the only one that has read the book in full, so mm-hmm. I was
just
prepared.
Like,
what?
Just like in one word or so to describe how you
well,
feel?
Well, just like in a sentence, say what you were expecting? Was it more? Was it less?
I was gonna have a panic attack. I think that was like that's my sentence. I did have a panic attack. I this was very emotional for me. I got very teary eyed because the finale it ended great, but at the same time, obviously, it seems like there's a cliffhanger. But you know, mm-hmm. I'll let you get to that later. But. Yeah, no, I was in shock all the way through this entire episode, so it was fun. It was fun to watch.
Dang, I have to do one sentence. I felt vindicated, I would say that. Like, at the end, because I finally figured out who was the person, and I was like, yay, we found out who died. Finally, it took forever for me to figure it out. And just, not that it's okay that this person died or anything, but you get what you sow.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I was like waiting all season. Like there was so much build up that I was like, dang, I can't believe this is the last episode. Like I want to see more.
Yeah.
Right? I need more action like this. I want to see what like the aftermath of everything is. So I was like excited and on edge like the whole time, mm-hmm. but also like, dang, it's over.
Yeah. But then it's, I mean, those clicks just make you think, like, okay, we're going to have another season.
Yeah. I know. It's HBO.
What do you think, Sam, though? Because you've read the book.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought that the entire series was done as I saw it until this. So in the book, that scene where Perry dies, which again we'll get into, but just generally, like, it was some of my favorite writing I had ever seen in any kind of novel, mm-hmm. and it was so cool because it brought all of the characters in it together, and it was a lot of girl power, which I think that is more than anything what they were trying to accomplish.
Yes.
But the men were also involved, which I liked in the book as far as getting Perry away.
Right.
So I don't know. I was a bit disappointed with that final scene, but I thought at the end of the day they had good intentions and that the girl power through and through, like Renata and mm-hmm. all of that, you know, it's
a lot
women,
of forgiveness.
Yeah, a lot yeah. of forgiveness, mm-hmm. a lot of women coming together. But on that point, let's start off with Jane. So basically we're gonna recap our characters before this epic party, mm-hmm. and then we're gonna break them down because they all broke down.
right, literally.
Well, technically only one person broke down. Well, because she was drunk. But we'll let you go. We'll let you go for that.
There was a lot of breakdowns.
Yeah, Celeste definitely had a breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
She deserved that breakdown.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But I felt like everyone collectively had their own separate breakdown. Yeah. Okay. Like, at different times.
Yeah, shit was hitting the fan, and people were, like, going ape shit. And I was like, can somebody just, like, call it quits and, like, everybody go home and chill out, eat some ice cream, go to bed.
What was so funny in the books is that they were like, what was in, it was a certain drink they were serving everybody, everyone was like, what was in this? Because everyone's going crazy.
Yeah. So that's a thing in the book, or is this, like, what people are talking
about? No, it was in the book. Okay. Like, the interviews that the women were having with the detectives and stuff, they were like, I swear, there was something in that drink.
Because at some point, I literally thought that, like, when Bonnie was in between Nathan and Ed, I was like, what are they drinking? Like, what is everybody drinking?
Like, I feel like everybody was just, like, turned up.
Yeah, I felt that, but on the other side, I'm just like, we knew, like, something between Ed and Nathan was going to happen. And I really don't think alcohol had that much to do with, I mean,
especially... Well, no, not with Ed and Nathan.
Yeah, no. I feel like...
In that case, like, yeah.
Well, let's start at the beginning. Right. Yes. Let's go back to Jane. We have so much to say, you guys. And I'm sure you guys, too. So, Jane is with Ziggy. Mm-hmm. And he finally reveals the truth.
Thank God.
Right? But the way he did it was so sweet. Like, he's like, I can't break my promise. And, like, that is a nice... quality trait to see in somebody who's sick.
I was about to say, I was like, you're a kid. But see, I was getting impatient with Ziggy, too. I was like, look, I don't have time for you to be noble right now. I need you to just tell me what's going on, because as a parent, I know Jane is like, Jesus, will you just let me know what's like going on? Because she's getting a lot of heat from Renata. She's getting a lot of heat from the school. So it's like, at this point, Ziggy, look, baby, I love you, and I know that this is, you know, you going through some deep stuff, too, but I am, too. Mm-hmm. Please, just... tell me what's going on. I was literally a panic attack this entire episode.
I know.
Because I'm like, please, let's get this over with.
It's so funny because watching it, I thought to myself, I am close to having a panic attack, but I know it's going to happen, so I'm okay. And I'm chill unless they throw me a curveball. But I thought about everyone else watching this, and oh my God, hey, you don't know. Because, again, we don't see Jane, we don't see Madeline, we don't see Celeste, we don't see any of their husbands talking to the detectives throughout this entire thing.
Yeah.
So we think any of them could be dead.
Right.
Or Nathan or Bonnie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Jane and Ziggy, he finally reveals that it's Max. And I look at those two, I mean, they're identical twins. I can't tell them apart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's that twin because I'm like, I have no idea.
Right. We're like, okay.
I have no idea which one it is. But we all guessed that. You guys guessed that very early on.
I did not.
I did last week.
I didn't know.
Really?
I kept going back and forth between Ziggy. Like, I didn't want Ziggy to be that person. I felt like the entire time, like, no, it can't be Ziggy because he's just too sweet. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know. But then I just felt like the twins were kind of, I mean, they're obviously in relationship to the situation. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I feel like the twins had so much going on in their story that I didn't feel like it could really melt over into someone else. But at the same time, I mean, it fit perfectly.
It did.
With Perry.
It's hard for me because I read it. I think that was this too easy because I felt like the audience picked up on it really, really quickly.
Right. I agree, too, because I picked up on it pretty early, and then I was like, it's almost too obvious, because they didn't really show any other kids do any other behaviors. There was, like, one behavior that tipped me off to it, and it was the ripping off of the hippo's leg. I guess it's a hippo.
Yeah.
And, that was the only sign of violence I've seen out of any of the kids, so I was like, it has to be him.
Yeah. And only in my mind, I just thought, Perry.
Well, and Perry, exactly. Like, they must have seen or heard something at home.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the things funny is about that, like, parents, oh, they don't know. Your kids pick up on a lot more things than you give them credit for. Mm-hmm.
And again, actually, my first cousin, she told me to read this book before the show, even anything, and she's a mother, and she was like, oh my God, this actually taught me how to raise my child. He's a very sweet boy, but he's rambunctious, and he can, you know, like, be... not mean, but I could see him being mean to, like,
what people perceive.
He's aggressive, but he's very sweet and excited. And she was like, this taught me how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, and again, they're kids.
Yeah.
They're just kids, and they're still moldable.
Yeah. Right. I don't feel like there's any bad kid out there. I feel like you have kids that are a little bit more... you, like you said, like aggressive, or they may have something that's kind of making them, you know, be shifted a certain type of way or in behavior. But I don't think kids are bad. I think that they are, it's a nurture versus nature situation where if they're around a situation long enough, then they're going to pick up those types of habits. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like you said, they're moldable. They're at a young age to where they can develop different traits and change for the better. So.
Yeah.
But I liked that Celeste had said that when she was like, you know, they grow out of it. Or mm-hmm. Jane had said, oh, they grow out yeah. of it. And Celeste was like, sometimes they don't.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, one more interesting thing before we get into all of it I want to bring up is the Jane, Madeline, and Gordon mm-hmm. scene mm-hmm. at the cafe. And, of course, Tom.
So cute.
Who is this new knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
Which, did you guys think he was gay the whole time just because Madeline?
No. I was so confused by that. Like, right, I was like, he's gay? Or we thought he was gay? I feel like they referenced it earlier on in the season.
Yes.
But I thought, okay, like, they just think he's gay. Right. But I didn't think it was really going to continue on to the last episode. Like, oh, yeah, we still think he's gay. Clearly, like, in my mind, because he's obviously hitting on Jane.
Right? The entire time.
So I'm like, where did that... I don't know.
So, but I'm confused, though, because did you see that interaction he had with the guy at the place?
True.
So,
wait, I'm sorry.
Could be bi.
With that guy. The guy at the party.
Oh. No.
Oh,
you didn't see that.
I remember what you're talking about.
When he was like pointing at him, when they were like looking at each other after everybody was gone and he was there, and then he kind of like shoots a gun at him.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about.
Some interaction between those two, which made me think then, like, oh, wait, what is going on?
But
actually,
maybe it was there to throw you off.
Well, yeah, and who the hell was that guy?
Gordon.
Was it Gordon?
Renata's husband.
That was Gordon?
That was Gordon.
Well, okay, I didn't even recognize him because I didn't think it was Gordon.
He was like, you shooed me out of your cafe, boom, 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 I'm going to kill you with my fake gun.
But wait, hold on.
I'm going to kill your business.
He wasn't wearing glasses, though. Was it Gordon?
It was Gordon.
Yeah, it was Gordon. Who was...
Yeah, it did not look like him at all.
I liked Gordon until this episode.
Yeah. Because Gordon stayed out of it, and then he just kind of put himself in it, and I just felt like that was rude. Like, don't approach me on a regular day. Like, I could see if I was, like, if you called me and set up, like, a meeting, but you just happened to catch me in a restaurant, like, don't come up to me and say, like, oh, well, the next time, you know, we'll have to do a restraining order. Like, and on top of that, I'm with a guest.
Right.
So it's like, this is really awkward for me right now, and it is harassment. Right.
No, but on top of that, I feel like Renata would have told him that she came over, she apologized, we squashed it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, what in my, like, my mind, like, dude, what are you thinking at this point? Like,
yeah.
This whole time you want to stay out of it, now you're actually thrusting yourself. So maybe it was thrusting.
Whoa. I just felt like
Elvis, I'm using it right, okay? Thank you. I'm using it correctly in this time frame we're at.
Yeah. So. It was weird. I felt like, as a man, I understand because that's your wife, so you want to step in, but at the same time, that's. Let the women kind of handle what's going on in the situation.
With other women,
right? Exactly.
When it's between two women, dude, just like that's. I think that's the same thing with if you're cheating. Like, don't go for like. That's totally different. Like, if he's cheating, don't go for her. Go for him. But when it's like a woman on woman type thing, you just stay in the background. You hold her hair, be there for moral support.
It,
right.
Well, and the truth is,
cheering like the background.
What he should have been most upset about, which it's not that I don't think he was. I thought he handled the Amabella thing very well, more so than Renata. But if you're going to be mad at someone and pick a fight, you go to the school board, right? That's the place to go. It's not to your wife, it's not to your daughter, and it's not to the person that you think it could be.
Right, exactly.
And am I imagining this? Have we seen him do, like, blow at all through this whole thing? I feel like...
What do you mean?
He's all, like, cocaine.
Yeah,
we did see him. Did we see him do that? Because he's constantly sniffing.
He was smoking with that clown mime dude.
Like, right, he was smoking with him. I mean, different than cocaine, but he's always, like, and when he went into the cafe, he was doing that. Like, he was amped up. That's what it seemed to me.
Oh, wow. I feel like he's doing something. I definitely feel like he's doing hard drugs, and that like that's something that's been just kind of been shown, like but glossed over at the same time about his character.
I have no idea.
You know, and it's because it's been a while since I read the book, so I think I might be picking things up from my memory
and also
from the show. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's
affluent drug, or most affluent people do it or have dabbled in it a little bit. Hey, cokehead, do what you gotta do. But like, I mean, I could see that. Like, it wouldn't be, like, so far-fetched. Like, oh, he does cocaine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get then into Celeste. This is all before the party. When we open, I was so surprised because this is the we opened on a fight with her and Perry, and it's not where we left off. So, and we totally skipped over what that fight was about. Not that it mattered, or did? Am I wrong? Because I was thinking I don't remember them being in a fight at the end of the episode.
No, they weren't because she was she stayed late at the place. So at least I think it makes sense in my mind that that morning he's pissed because she's like, "Oh, I'm going out with Jane, and I'm not staying here to take care of you and the kids. I'm having a life a little bit," and that makes him feel insecure.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking, why did this start? What was this? But he beat her, I think, the worst that he has.
As far as we know, anyway.
No, that arm, in her gut, I was like, dang.
And we get flashes through it on and off throughout the entire episode.
That was terrible to watch. I just was like, please, Celeste, if this was your breaking point moment, please let it be, because it's just time to go. And as much as you think he's going to change, and just like when he was in the car, not to get to it, but he keeps saying, "Oh, well, let's help this together. Like, we can do this together." No, it is what it is. You're going to be that way. And I mean, you would hope that people can change, but you don't need to stay there to find out. So
also, you can't help somebody save themselves. They have to save themselves
from their problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because he's obviously evolved. Like she had said, it probably started when he was a child. And so now it's just that behavior has continued. So it's unfortunate, but I'm glad she's woken up.
What did you guys think, first of all, of that? It was a goodbye. Now we know it was a goodbye with him and his twins. And that scene, well, first of all, there's a scene where Celeste confronts Max because she has the conversation with Jane that Max is the one that did this. And what did you think about how she spoke to Max? I thought it was, it was good because it wasn't, "You're in trouble. It's a sickness."
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's obviously picking up on it. Did you guys, didn't innocent. Feel like it was under, like,
no.
under?
No. I mean, like, he was appropriate.
Yeah, he's a child. It's a learned behavior. He's doing this because that's what he's been nurtured to believe is okay.
And he's hearing it. You see the flashback where, Josh is, just into it, in humming and singing whatever, but Max is turning towards the vent.
He's paying attention. Yeah, right, exactly. And on top of that, I feel like, too, I honestly feel like both of the twins know what's going on, but one is just, going against it or going...
One's probably Celeste.
Right, they're reacting to it differently. But, I mean, I feel like Josh is just like, "Look, I don't want to be in this at all."
I have a twist for that, though. So, what if Max actually likes Emma Bella, and the reason he's been doing so is mommy and daddy are doing it, so that means
probably
it might be okay.
Remember growing up, I think I can kind of speak generally, but when a guy would be mean to us when we were younger, someone would say, "Oh, he has a crush on you."
And that's
he just likes you.
So weird.
And it's weird, and you're like, "Oh, cool, wait. So someone's supposed to be mean to me."
Right, like, and then who taught that means you that? What class was this? So be mean to her and she's gonna love you. That's the answer. That's so weird, but...
it's very messed up and it's very sad, but, we do see, again, Celeste and her therapist, which is one of the best portrayals I think I've seen on TV of a patient and a therapist.
Yeah. For sure.
This one really, really cares. And she I'm thinking if I was her therapist, how out of control must you feel? Because you have a line that you can cross or you can't cross.
Yeah, for sure.
And she knows these bad things are going to happen. What did you guys think?
It's so tough. I mean, it's such a hard situation to be in because it's out of your hands. I mean, it's up to them to make the decision. She's the adult, but at the same time, I mean, she obviously knows this is going on, and she's trying to help her along her way to move past all of this. So when she comes to her therapist that final time, I think she knows that it's finally time and she's going to move on. But I also think it was good of her to talk about, the party. She's like, "We just have to go to this party tonight and then I'm going to leave tomorrow." And she's like...
That line was great, right?
So she's like, "Who gives a shit about this party?" And she's actually right, because if she would have just avoided the whole thing, went home, packed up the shit and left, all of this wouldn't happen.
Right.
At the same time, that could have led to something else.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, you think because he's leaving for Hawaii... that's the best time, and you're supposed to fake appearances. And she does, even when she's in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready for that party.
Mm-hmm. I was even convinced a little bit for that. I was like, dang, you better act. Go ahead.
I was like, please. Celeste is really good at it because I would be so disgusted.
Right?
Like, God, I just have got, like, it would just be like, no, please don't look at me. Don't touch me. Just go away.
That's something I think about all the time because I literally watch so many Lifetime movies and, like, it's always an abuser and, like, I'm always like, just fake like you're into him until you're out in public and then run for your life. And I'm like, you probably can't even do that because you're so disgusted at everything that's occurred. That's what I think she did really good in that situation, is just acted like it was nothing.
Was wrong.
Yeah.
I was scared. Well, I don't know if you want to get, but when he found out,
your property manager,
I was like, you better get in a separate car.
Yeah.
I was like, let's Uber there right now.
Yeah. It was like the heartbeat, like, oh my God.
And
like,
then right?
But how crazy he was to bring it up in front of the kids, though.
So nonchalantly,
yes,
right?
Yes. Like, oh, I know. Like, it's so sociopathic. The way his behavior is
it's
so
controlling. It's manipulative.
Yeah.
I have a lot of conversation with people between a psychopath and sociopath.
Mm.
But Harry's character is the epitome of a sociopath.
It is. Yeah.
Because they feel bad, they have guilt, but they're able to almost compartmentalize.
Well, they're manipulators.
What they feel. And
like,
Yeah. So, I mean, that entire thing was completely, and we'll get more into them before we get to the party. But lastly, before we get to the party, I want to talk about Madeline. She had a conversation with Joseph, which was weirdly aggressive and almost violent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand why he was pissed.
Yes.
I understand why he's pissed, but at the same time, like, the bitch, the cussing her out, I was like, good Lord. Like, right? I don't think you needed to do that, but at the same time, he's probably so, he's just tired, and he's like, Madeline, I need you to make up your mind. Like, you're clearly not happy. You've told me you're not happy. Right. You're cheating on your husband with me. You need to figure it out. And I feel like that, her going back and forth like that is the problem. Like, he's like, okay, well, clearly. But at the same time, it's like, why would you mess with a married woman? That's another thing, too.
And they're,
like,
no, they're both married. That's
right,
what, That's what's even worse. Like, you're two married couples, and
you're messing up each other's homes.
And even though, like, it's been, like, a year since this has partaken, and also, like, I think the cussing and this whatever was a little over top, but I feel like at that, like, he hit his breaking point. I think he was also keeping all that in.
Yeah.
And at that point, it just, like, released. It, like, it had a valve, and, like, now these words are coming out of my mouth, and I get the hell out.
Well, see, my thing is, too, like, once you see that, if I was Madeline, I wouldn't even be attracted to him anymore. Mm-hmm. Like,
true.
Oh, bitch? Mm-hmm. Like, wow.
Yeah, like, F you, bye.
Right, exactly. Like, immediately, because it's like, oh, you just showed your true colors.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If something goes down, that's immediately what comes out of your mouth. It's like, oh, you stupid bitch. Like, wow, that's deep. Like, you've been feeling some type of way.
There was a moment that I was afraid that she was going to be like, no, F you more. And then they were like, F you more. And then they were going to have sex.
So did I. I thought that was gonna happen.
I did too.
Because again, you guys, this is new. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. This is because David E. Kelly, who is the writer, one of the producers on the show, he said, he's like, we're staying very true to the book, but we're adding an extra layer. I think this specifically was the extra layer.
But my thing about it is, I know you talked about this not being in the book. Like, what was the point of it, though? Like,
it was just
another layer. That's all it was.
It didn't
prolong.
Yeah, it didn't add anything.
Like, did you think that maybe his wife was going to, like, kill Madeline? Is that what they were trying to throw off there?
No. Okay.
True.
So this is my thing. I think the reason they're doing, because, like, Madeline even said to Abigail, she's like, I've been trying to be perfect, and for so long, something
true.
Has got to
give.
Oh,
we needed that in order for them to have that relationship bond.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, the whole thing with Tori is still creepy as hell before the party. It's just like, first of all, I would, after I dropped my kid off, I would have came for you and be like, why are you driving past my house? Like, like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't get over you. You, like, drive by. Like,
everybody goes beyond their boundary.
A little bit in Monterey, apparently.
It's
like,
a little
it's nothing.
Weird.
I want to bring something up also, again, that was not in the book that I thought was a very interesting thing. It's the Madeline and Abby, because she confided in Abby, her daughter, being one of the only people she told about this affair, and she's still chatting with her about it. And for me, I mean, I grew up with that crap, and like, you know, mothers with their daughters, it's a very complicated and close relationship, but it should be, especially when she's in high school. Still, they need to make that line. But yes. I felt very interesting they included that scene.
I felt like, even in the last episode, like, I get it. You want your child to know that you're not perfect, and that's good. But at the same time, you can let her know that in another way. Right. I feel like the child and the parent should be separated. You're not the best friend. You are there to parent mm-hmm. and parent only. Keep your adult issues in the adult world. Do not taint her with that, because she's gonna have to grow up knowing, oh, my mom's a cheater, and you know, like, and I'm not saying she should know that your mom is vulnerable, she's a human being, she's not a superhero, but at the same time, that just wasn't the best time in the place. Like, that we she's trying to sell her virginity, and we got other stuff going on. Like, I just felt like, okay, we don't need that. Abigail, first of all, she could have learned that lesson in another way, because you're choosing to, one, and then she admitted it, oh, I'm doing this as a publicity stunt. Girl, what?
Right.
Really? Yeah. Like, all this? Like, I can't. Girl, you gotta... I understand that you have a lot of things going on in your life, and things happen. You're human, and life happens. But really? A publicity mm-hmm. stunt? You're gonna put yourself on the internet for the rest of the world to see that you want to sell yourself? Like, I was done with Abigail at this point. Like, okay. Go to college. Please, Jesus.
Go to Stanford.
Okay, church.
The church.
I don't even know what to say after that. I don't know. I actually like that. Because, mm-hmm. like you can see, leading up to this point, like, Abigail has been drifting apart from her. And I also think that Abigail sees how close Chloe is with her mom, like, how much interest they have. So that also makes her feel like she's a little left out.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like the fact that I think mom and daughter can be friends, as well as parents. It's like a line too, but I also feel like it can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can, but I don't think that it's the healthiest thing for a child.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at 16, 17, like, she's probably learning a lot more on the internet than whatever. So I feel like at that point, like, you're actually treating her like an adult, like, to...
But she's not an adult. She's 16 years old.
Yeah. And but most 16-year-olds they're, like, ready to be an adult.
Now that this is the finale, I feel like it's okay to tell you guys something that was in the book that didn't happen. didn't happen in the show, which is something I wanted to happen. I apologize if anyone's mad at me, but I think this is interesting. It's that... So, Abigail's virginity was being auctioned off on the internet, and Celeste sees it. Madeline tells Celeste about it. So, Celeste makes an anonymous bid of, like, $20,000, something crazy, to go to the charity that Abigail's doing it for, and she pretends to be an old man that Abigail's supposed to, like, have sex with. But then the old man, Celeste, mm-hmm. says, I don't want to have sex with you at all. Like, I want you to take this off the internet because I want you to grow up and I want you to be a good person. And then, of course, Madeline finds out that it was Celeste. And that's what ends up getting Celeste and Perry in, like, the fight, too.
She doing this... She was doing this out of, like, the kindness of her heart. Like, let me save my friend's daughter.
Yeah, because Madeline goes to her and she's like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. My daughter's trying to auction off her virginity on the internet. And then Celeste goes in and undercover, like, saves her. And Celeste won't admit it. But Madeline is like, I know it was you.
And she's like, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, but she, yeah, exactly. Madeline's kind of like, okay, yeah, thank you.
Well, that's awesome.
And
that could go, like, two ways. That could be, like, really creepy and weird, or it could be, like, a good, like, I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart so somebody else doesn't buy it.
Yeah, right. No, that's exactly why she did it in the book. And so I do wish they could have included that. That's because I feel like up until now, I've seen everything that I've wanted to see, but I wish they could have done that because that was so cool.
Yeah, it was sweet. That's a sweet moment mm-hmm. that we needed.
Yeah.
I think that's like that shows like how much Celeste is a good friend to Madeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, a lot of this is about Celeste, like this final episode. Who did you guys think was going to die?
I mean, it only made sense that it was Perry, I guess, at this point. Like, it was a common enemy for everybody. It was like, okay, we can take your person out, or we can take out Celeste's problem, we can take out Jane's problem, the boys can grow up without this... that's sad, but
mm-hmm.
it was a common enemy that we could have easily been good with. Like, I was happy. I don't want him to die, but at the same time... You know,
problems are solved.
Yeah, problems are solved. And, like, I think I would have been happier if he just would have went to jail for a number of years, because I don't think the answer is ever someone dying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, if, you know, like you said at the end of the show, like, the worst of evil, so. Right. It was easier for him to just go away.
I mean, that's exactly what I think, because the thing is like, I've been suspecting that he was the one that died early on, but my thing, like, during this episode, I think death is so hard, and, like, killing somebody and murdering somebody is so tough, because it's like, that is somebody's son, we know it's somebody's dad, somebody's husband. Yeah. But at the same time, I was thinking, like, what if he lived? And what if Celeste would have moved into the apartment? Like, he obviously can find her. Like, whether
it wouldn't
or not,
have been good.
Right. Yeah. He can just show up at school or whatever. Yeah. And, like, he's just going to revert to his other behaviors. I mean, this is so scary. So I'm like, yeah. It's sad it has to end like this, but, like, good him and not somebody else.
It's like good riddance.
Yeah.
Because I remember reading the book and I'm thinking it's going to be one of the women.
Yeah.
And I was so scared. And then when I found out what it was, I thought, okay, well, you know, it has to be somebody.
Right. What did you think it was, if it was going to be a girl?
I thought that it was going to be Jane.
I would have thought it would have been Madeline.
That's what I would have thought. Yeah. In the very beginning, that's what I thought.
Because there was a moment in the book before, like, way in the middle of it, that they did a flash forward almost to a boy putting his hand on a casket and being so sad at the funeral. And it's one of the interviews that they have with a detective of one of the women at the school that says, oh, that poor boy. Look, and, you know, he was so devastated at the funeral. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, like, that's Ziggy. Oh, my God, that's Ziggy.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like,
oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, it's Ziggy. No, but I was like, I was so upset. Like,
yeah.
That would be such a sad thing. But let's move on into this party, this beautiful party. Mm-hmm. They did make it, you know, as pretty as it sounded.
I know.
It was clearly wanted to go.
Amazing.
Huh? Yeah. We clearly wanted to go. We could have been there.
Yeah.
We could have been extras.
Yeah.
We could have been extras. The extras.
Let's talk about Ed a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So he's catching on to things.
For sure.
If he's like, he's not sure what it is. Like, I think he has the inkling, which is why he ordered a triple vodka on the rocks. Like, dude.
I thought he did that because he needed to calm down for his performance.
No, I think it was both.
Like, first of all, Tori, stop looking at Madeline. Yeah. Let me just say that, like, you're with your husband, and even if you know, like, obviously he's still with you, so it couldn't have been that big of a deal. She's trying to stir it up.
Yeah.
And she wants it to come out, but she's not woman enough to be like,
yo. She really wants to fight her. That's really what it is. She's like, I'm waiting for my moment, for whenever this can happen. Let me know the end of the episode. It could be right now, when Ed performs, when Nathan performs, whoever. But no, Ed, I love Ed. Ed is like...
I do too.
Yeah.
It's still amazing. Sketchy, though. There's just certain things, like, especially like when Madden's like, everybody has a full erection. He's like, yeah. I'm like...
Yes.
That's what it got. You would have got hit.
I thought he was just like, you're ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was just like,
Come on,
you're crazy.
Listen,
woman.
That wouldn't have made me think that unless there was that scene a few episodes ago with him and Bonnie being like, I like looking at Split and you, whatever.
Yeah. I feel like Ed is that guy best friend that you just have. Yeah. Like, I don't think he really means any harm. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, if they have another season, we'll see more if we open up his story a little bit more. But I don't know. I just felt like Ed was like, look, I'm here to have fun. You guys can all trip if you want to. Yeah. But I'm gonna knock these drinks back and perform. And I felt like he did. I do think that he was gearing up to confront Nathan, but at the same time, or he was just ready for Nathan. I thought
he was ready to talk to Madeline because, like, looking out on the stage, he saw Tori and then he looked at Madeline, even though Madeline was like completely just focused on him. Mm-hmm. But like, he can't like ignore the fact that Tori's just been giving Madeline looks,
right?
And I think it's like the music again is a theme, and it's like the, you know, climax started building as the music was building, and everybody was figuring things out, and they didn't have to say anything, which is so cool. You can kind of just see it building in their own heads. And again, we had the Ed and Nathan confrontation, which is just, I mean, Nathan is such a,
he's so angry and like bitter. Like,
but I'm like, dude, what? Like, you have a new wife.
Yeah. Like, what are you mad at?
You have a daughter. I mean, you have three daughters, but you still, you know, you have a new daughter.
Right.
You're supposed to be like, you know, turning over a new leaf, taking interest in Abigail's
and Bonnie. You know, like, that's
like, Bonnie's gorgeous. Like, so, dude, like, why are you worried about what your ex-wife's husband is all about?
And how good?
And why are you goading him?
Right.
Like,
right.
You're doing it on purpose. Like, that's what also pisses me off about his character. Like, dude, you're acting so innocent, but you're not. And he's picking up and he's defending himself. And you're just like,
He's really upset for no reason. Period. And then when Bonnie had said, "Oh, he's so good," and he's like, "Ed, what is your problem?" He's literally the biggest the hater of the entire season of the show. He's so mad. And like you said, he moved on. He has a wife. He's
not only did he move on though, he left them.
Right.
That is true.
Exactly.
No, but I think it's this is what I'm thinking. He's had the personality where it's like he wants his cake and eat it too. He liked the fact that, she was on her own, but she was by herself.
Right.
And so she still could, he still played both sides if he needed to. He has that personality where he needs, her to still be kind of wanting
to be on him. To ride his coattail.
Yeah.
But some men are like that where it's like, oh, you can't move on because I don't want you to be happy because you're supposed to be miserable. If I move on, I'm going to move on to bigger and better things. Nathan's just, he's just bitter. He's just mad. And I don't understand why either, because it's obviously, Madeline is stuck on you in some sort of way, and I don't know why you want to take advantage of that, or even why, because if anything, that's a slight to Bonnie. Because, if you're happy or if you're moving on, then just leave what you left behind in the past.
Right.
So, I don't know. Nathan's, he's just stupid. He is. He's just an idiot. What are you actually mad at? I've been trying to figure this out the entire season. Yeah. What are you really upset about?
You know what I was thinking about? Bonnie was so beautiful and so perfect this episode, and I was thinking, oh, no, there's going to be someone after her. It's just going to be one of those ongoing things with him. He's always looking for something better. And even we see her up on stage, and she's so great, and she's so beautiful. I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Because I know he's always going to be looking to greener pastures. That's at least what I thought. We got to, of course, get to this end moment, which, for me, it was different than the books. It's how Perry dies. Madeline is very taken by Ed's performance, and it just, stirs up all these emotions in her. She tells Jane the truth. She runs down to those stairs. Was it you, Shay, that said? Or no, it was Jesse. Mm-hmm. You said that. The significance of the stairs, because they keep on doing, every time Madeline goes through them to work on the play.
Yes.
And it's like a don't cross kind of thing.
Mm.
And they're all talking about it. Renata's there. And we see a real bonding moment with these women, which I loved.
I loved it too.
Loved it so much.
Right? I got emotional.
Finally. Because the entire season they've been just nitpicking everything and they've been so catty. So I also loved this moment. I feel like it was the first time that everybody was genuinely.
Yeah. And the kids were together. Yeah. It was really where they take all of their problems, which was the beach. They ended up having their happiness. Oh my God.
Throw it in the ocean, guys.
Yeah. It'll be okay. Let it float away.
It was so adorable.
It was. I was like, oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I thought, the interrogations, all the other women and their perceptions
of
what's going on between these, four or five women.
So judgmental. Yes. Oh, my God.
She was trying too hard in that dress.
What are you talking about?
First of all, what are you mad about? Why?
We're all dressed up.
Because she can't wear the dress. That's why she's... I mean, that commentary alone is just such an interesting thing to say about how women and people in general perceive others' actions.
Mm-hmm.
Including that was Ed spilling his drink on Bonnie. And they go, I saw him throw his drink on her. No, Nathan caused that entire thing. No one's even talking about Nathan.
Well, see, it's like the rumor, the rumor game where you whisper something to somebody else's ear. By the end of the line. Yeah, by the end of the line, you have a completely different message than what you started off with. So I feel like that's just, humans are naturally messy, and that's just what happened in that situation. But I felt like the commentary with the interviews, I was thinking, what does any of this have to do with who got killed? Her dress, she was just doing way too much. If I was an investigator, I'd be like, I need you to stay right here. Stay with me because we're not talking about fashion trends.
Right. Yeah, we're at best.
Right. We're on E now. That's just, what are we talking about?
It was an interesting thing because we think about from the first episode, we saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what they talked about, thinking, oh, competitive people, blah, blah, blah. The murder had it wasn't a murder, it was an accident, but it had nothing to do with competitive people.
Yeah.
It had to do with domestic, violence. And women standing up for each other.
Yeah. I liked how everyone at the same time knew, when Jane had her shock her moment.
Right.
Everybody was like, And then she, yeah.
No, Madeline looked at Celeste, and then like Celeste it looked was at so Jane, and it was just
it was like an in sync moment. Like mm-hmm. that's him. That's him.
I and know, yeah, and I caught like, it. I'm saying I caught it. Man.
I was like, but that was a great moment of how women can sync up together and know what's going
we
on.
We have common intuitive things.
Yes,
and when you're on the same page, like we can do so much better when we're working together.
Right. Yeah.
And well, why that do we have to kill somebody like, to you know,
make that happen? No, can we not kill somebody to make that happen?
Can someone but not die?
Like, he was going to kill one of them, which...
But, he yeah, almost killed no, Celeste. But, like, he slapped I Jane. Know. He slapped Renata. Like,
he, yeah,
like,
he was,
like, first of all, I'm like... okay, so you see them all have, like, this cohesive... of understanding.
Moment, yeah.
And then you go straight for Celeste. And I'm just like, dude, you're surrounded by like four different women right now.
Well, he probably
what were you gonna
like,
accomplish?
He probably felt like he probably could beat them all up because obviously yeah. half yeah. of them were all in shock. One, because someone they kept doing so many cutaways, but I couldn't see. But someone was still standing there while Celeste was getting beaten. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh yeah, they were yelling at him to stop. Yeah. Like it came mm-hmm. to a point where they were just yelling stop and nobody was moving.
Yeah, and I'm
he was
like,
kicking
what?
Her.
So this is a part in the book that I wish they would have included. And like the men were there during this. It wasn't.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, Ed was there, and Renata's husband was there. And they were like, what the hell, dude? Like, get off of her. And then they're all... And then that's when Bonnie... And you find out that Bonnie comes from a family where her father beat her mother.
And that made sense to me because yeah. the way she was watching Perry during the night, she was just like, something's not right. Like, she mm-hmm. had recognized that type of behavior before.
Right.
So, which I hope, you know, they do that in the second season.
Yeah.
I want to get into her story a little bit more,
too. Yeah, because I was telling Jesse, I was just like... Because, like, you know what she told Ed, like, back, you know, the whole sweat thing? Mm-hmm. And she was just like... A lot of people go through bad shit, but like if you look at Bonnie, you would never know.
Yeah,
because right. Bonnie's this like calm, just hippie person. Like, but like she like it was like so interesting. Like she had a drink and she was just like,
"What's going on?
Why is Celeste like shaking her head? Why is this no?" And then like she walks away and like I just love how she was so in tune. She was like she had yeah. to get involved
without really knowing Celeste at all or her situation.
Yeah.
Like that's deep too. But that's another women's intuition too.
Yeah.
We're seeing another woman like in harm and we're like, nah, I don't know. This is a little weird.
And I do wish they could have included that because there was also this whole part of the book where like I don't remember who. A couple of people were in the hospital. No, Jane and Madeline were in the hospital because they got shoved down some way or the other.
Oh, wow.
And so they were in the hospital and everyone's talking to them about it. And then Nathan comes and was like, please, like, this is Bonnie's past.
Mm.
Please, let's cover for her. And they come up with a story.
Mm-hmm.
And every person except for Ed wants to tell the story is fine with because they're like, he was going to kill her. Perry mm-hmm. was going to kill Celeste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they all go along with it. But Ed is, you know, why are you, it's because it's your ex-husband. And
right.
He gets all defensive and everyone ends up having to, like, lie about it. And then Bonnie ends up telling the truth, which is, like, an
okay.
And it ends up being okay. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, like, he was a bad guy. He was going to kill her.
Right. Like, he was beating up a whole bunch of women in public.
Yeah, he did. He literally like,
he beat
the up a bunch
shit.
Of women.
But right. like, can't you just say that was self defense? Like her pushing him was getting him off Celeste. So that was self defense of Celeste.
Right.
Well, it wasn't self defense. If they tried to turn it that way, it wouldn't be self defense for Bonnie. So technically, it would be involuntary.
Yeah, they and in the book they deal with that. You know that she gets some community services and work,
right.
which she's more than happy to do. It's
right.
Like, whatever, but they at least explained it. So, yeah, you know, they end it all with all the mothers, Renata, Jane, Celeste, Madeline, and Bonnie being on the beach with their children,
mm-hmm.
being happy and all of that. You know, it gave us all chills. I feel like it was a bit rushed, but...
Yes, I felt the same way. I felt the same way, Sam.
No, but, like, I was reading the lips when they were in the interrogation. And I didn't want to write it down because I'm like, I might miss something. But, like, Madeline, she's talking. She's just like, it was just really fucked up. Like, the whole situation was fucked up.
Oh, you read her lips.
I was reading,
yeah.
I couldn't, I couldn't read Jane's because her mouth was too close.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, damn, I want you to open your mouth real quick.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, they're not telling us this. What is this purpose? Which leads me into a bit of news and gossip.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
AfterBuzz TV news.
Some gossip. So we are led to believe that Big Little Lies is a 7-episode miniseries on HBO, which means that it is going to be finished and done in 7 episodes. But Reese Witherspoon has said that she wants Leon Moriarty, who is the writer of Big Little Lies, to consider perhaps starting a second season and helping create that. Again, this is not a series of books. This is one book. So it's really interesting because this would be the first time this has ever happened, mm-hmm. because typically television shows are based off a book series, mm-hmm. not one. So they would be extending upon this book series. Reese wants it, Nicole Kidman wants it, who is also a producer on this show, and I think fans want it.
We want it.
But I feel like as an artist, too, if she's the author, she probably sees her creation going so far. I mean, I don't know if she said no or not, but...
She's still up in the air, I guess, but I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if she's down to, like, sit in the writer's room and write along with them, I'm here for it. But I understand, like, as an artist, if you feel like that's where you want the story to end, leave it alone. So, right. You
know. It's complicated, but I feel like they left it open again the way
they definitely did.
To a detective.
Yeah,
for sure.
Looking at them.
The clicks.
Yeah, the clicks. Letter clicks.
They were just killing me. I'm just like, why are these clicks? Like, and I don't understand because she was like smoking and
she's
like.
She's thinking.
And she's thinking. And I'm just like, first of all, I'm like, even if they're lying, it might be for a good reason, so leave it the hell alone. Yeah. Like, why? Like,
especially as a woman, right?
Right. Like, you're a woman, so like. She got. You can tell Celeste got her face beat to hell.
Right.
Yeah, you want to question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why she would kill a guy who's beating up on 5 different people like it? Like I just don't. But you know, I feel like some police officers are like, well, look, you still killed someone. Like that. I feel like that's
very,
why.
Like black and white. Like you still did the crime.
Right.
But it's still self defense.
But the fact that it was a woman specifically that's like after these other women, I think goes in theme with the show.
Yes.
True.
Yeah. Ooh, true. So on that note, if there is a second season, any last thoughts, guys, or thoughts
can't
on
wait
this
for
season?
It. Yeah. If there is another season, I loved this season. I absolutely thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I want, like, Celeste and Jane to... Like, I want, like, Max and Josh and Ziggy to know they're half-brothers. I want to know what that experience would be like them. And see how they would get along. Because that would be just an interesting storyline either way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I want to see how Celeste will live her life now that Perry is no longer a part of her situation. And how Josh and Max will kind of evolve.
And I would love for the show to continue. I think that the cast... is amazing, and also randomly Reese Witherspoon dropped that she would love J-Lo to be a new member of the cast.
Yes, that would be
which
amazing.
Is a super random funny thing, but I love this show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You've been amazing, amazing fans. One more time, where can everyone find y'all on social media?
Thanks for joining us in live chat. I'm Jessie Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletchick.
Hey guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey everyone, my name is Raquel Harris, and you can find me on all social media at Raquel Harris TV, and I have a vlog that comes out every single Sunday called Raquel Conveys. Check it out.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, samdavidsonentertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram, samd43. I have a channel on the app Anchor. You can download it for free. It's called Binge Watchers United. I talk about new shows every day. Check that out and continue to tweet us with your theories and thoughts of this show. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in this season.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.